Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at the same number as Mondays. That's Monday with Sandy. Mondays with Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, we got to get into, you know, what we always get into, and that's, you know, sometimes I think maybe people are saying that's all they ever talk about.
Ooh, what are we? Where
you
are,
and I.
Where are we going here?
Well, I'm saying about what's happening with Ukraine and all of those things. But you know what? You got to talk about that, man. That's what's more important right now in the world, and then that subject. And I know people might think and say, and I think people minimize because we're doing our own lives in this country.
Yeah,
that we don't see the big picture with what this thing could, and it could spin out of control at any given point, right?
Well, in fact, you know, I've sort of changed my vantage point on this. I used to think that presidents would retreat to domestic affairs when they didn't want to talk. Would retreat to international affairs when they didn't want to talk about thorny domestic affairs issues, and that was keeping us from solving our domestic problems. But I think, actually, now just the opposite. I think that domestic affairs are obviously, we've got to solve our domestic problems, and we've got to do it with a self-evaluation process, like I was talking about before the break. But the problem with our international affairs is that for a long time after World War II, we talked about it as it had to be bipartisan. Bipartisan meaning that we didn't discuss it.
Right.
We just agreed with whoever it was, the Secretary of State, the CIA, the President in the White House, as he was counseled by these ongoing institutions. We would just agree to whatever we decided. And it turns out that the foreign affairs that we adopt as a country are terribly important to us because, number one, it drives our defense budget, which eats up a great deal of our treasure. Two, it puts us in a position around the world of using not only our treasure but our young people in the military.
Right.
It's put us in terrible positions in terms of military involvements we've had over the last 75 years. And so we should talk about it, and we need to talk about it, and we needed to talk about it for the first 22 years of this century more than we did, because I think we've backed ourselves into some terrible positions, and I think we probably have helped create the foment that is now culminating in the Ukrainian war.
You know, there's no question that we need to talk about the foment that has occurred, because here we are. And this is China's continuing threats to use force against Taiwan will only increase support from the United States and others. And then you've got, you know, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, the congressional delegation led by Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina triggered vocal outcry before and after they met Taiwan's leaders, including President Tsai Ing-wen and her foreign and defense ministers, in the hours before the Caudill landed in Taipei on Thursday, China's foreign ministry spokesperson Zhao Lijian warned the U.S. was going down a dangerous path by endorsing Xi's government, which rejects the Chinese position that Taiwan ought to be ruled from Beijing. Well, why would Lindsey Graham then, before we even get a chance, he unilaterally screams that basically that we need to be preparing?
Well, ever since the recognition of China, which was carried out in Kissinger and Nixon period, we've walked a very fine tightrope about Taiwan, because Taiwan was historically a part of China. It only became a place that was separate from China when the Western nations decided to give Chiang Kai-shek, who was a kind of a horrible guy in himself, but he was the leader of the Chinese nationalists. They lost the revolution to the communists and Mao Zedong, and so we ended up providing safe haven to him in Taiwan by agreeing that for Formosa or Taipei or whatever we choose to call this island, We chose to protect it, but we've chosen also not to recognize it as an independent nation. We've chosen not to have it be part of the Olympics. We've chosen not to do all of the things that China has basically insisted we not do, and which Kissinger agreed we would not do at the time that we recognized China, which was basically that we would not distinguish Taiwan as a country separate from China. And here we are now, based on Ukraine, deciding that we want to go all the way to the brink, I guess, to protect Taiwan in a manner that is not consistent with what we've done in the past, primarily, I guess, because Taiwan now makes all these semiconductors, or I don't know what the reason is. Maybe it's just an exuberance we have about the American society and the requirement that we defend around the world those whose enemies are our enemies. And for that matter, if China is our enemy, have we had a national debate that has resolved why they're our enemy and whether they should be?
Well, but this is not the time for that. I mean,
well,
I think
it is the time for us to discuss at a national level how do we define our enemies and what is the national interest that we use to define who it is that we're going to oppose and why.
So no, I don't mean for us not to have the discussion.
Yeah.
I mean to be having the discussion right now with Taiwan and China. A national discussion I could see, but especially dealing with what we are dealing with right now with Ukraine.
Well, except, you know, we have this view that the dominoes, right? So Ukraine is a domino, and when it falls, Taiwan is the next contested space between us and a hostile country, hostile to us. So the view is that China might be emboldened, depending on what happens in Ukraine, to move on Taiwan. But Taiwan has been sitting there as an issue, and probably the only reason that China would feel compelled to move on Taiwan is if they think that we are going to do something to change the status quo from something that is, as far as they're concerned, seems to be adequate. And I'm sure that they are working on evolving in the direction of having Taiwan be assimilated into China. And I think the United States has been operating under the quiet pretense that
we're going to defend Taiwan.
No. I think the United States has been operating on the quiet pretense that it will get absorbed by China if it just needs to happen on somebody else's watch, because it's kind of a complicated issue to absorb, but that's what's going to happen.
Let's do this. Who do we have on the line, Sam?
CJ's calling in from Stoughton.
Ah.
All right, CJ, what's going on, man?
Howdy, gentlemen. I know you love my calls. You know, as I listen to Sandy, a self-evaluation is coming in November, and it's going to be a tidal wave, because I don't blame you for wanting to change the subject. And, you know, your party preaches, you know, tolerance, and they prove they're the least intolerant.
Well, what's his party?
Agree with them.
What's his party?
Which part?
Well, no, what is Sandy's party?
Well, I assume that he's a Democrat.
Well, why do you assume that? I'm an independent, actually. I vote differently at different times.
Can I ask you, did you vote for Joe Biden?
That was a low bar.
Well, the option was Donald Trump.
Let me ask you a question, CJ, which is not what Americans ask one another, but you asked me, so I'll ask you, did you vote for Donald Trump?
Hell yes.
Okay, well.
You know why? Because Afghanistan, after watching that.
We talked about this last year, man.
Well, wait. You voted for Trump after Afghanistan fell, because that was not the sequence of events.
No, I'm talking about Afghanistan never would have happened. Never would have happened.
Oh, so that's why you voted for Trump. Okay.
Hey, man, why are you talking about Afghanistan, man? Hey, let me ask you something. Why are you talking about Afghanistan?
Do you know what happened to Russia when they evacuated Afghanistan?
No, I didn't bring Afghanistan up.
I'd rather talk about how your party runs by polls.
I'm not a member of any party.
CJ, let me ask you this. You get very, very angry about the Democratic Party. Why does a partisan difference make you angry? Don't you think that's reflective of what's wrong with society right now? Is that you've called us, and you've called us for the purpose of expressing anger on the phone about having a discussion relating to differences in policies. And isn't that what's wrong with America right now? Don't you want to cure that? Don't you want to get us back to...
I want our laws enforced, Sandy. I want our laws enforced.
Which laws?
Oh, okay. As we watch crime, as we watch prosecutors continually allow recurring criminals back on the street. That's your party, not mine.
Okay, well, I think CJ, when you call, it would be better. I mean, if you want to be entertaining, you can be angry, but if we want to get angry.
I'm motivated. I'm motivated, Sandy. I'm not angry.
Well, you could be mistaken for angry.
You're doing a good
imitation of angry.
Okay. Well, you can be calm about it, Sandy, but the border is a disaster. Afghanistan was a disaster. Russia's a disaster. Inflation's a disaster.
Hey, do me a favor. CJ, hang on a second, man. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
I want to hang on a second.
Just have some ketchup. You keep me searching.